Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanao Punastu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So this is the beginning paragraph at the top of the page, is the introduction to verse 4. And so I'm going to just remind you of the argument that we were dealing with, which is basically whether or not there are many Atmans, like the Sankhya and the Vaisheshikas all always say there are many Atmans, right? Because of their, if I should experience happiness, then you should experience happiness if there is only one. So there was a lot of argument about that, and back and forth, Purvapaksha Siddhanta, where it ended up with, no, there can only be really one self, and the different states of experience belong to the upadis. And the self is asanga, is unattached. So this was what that bhasha, the bhasha was about, and coming off of the verse. And so the Vedantic position established that it won't work at all if there's only one, many Atmas, because for the Sankhya, each Atma is infinite. Right? It's infinite. And so if each Atma is infinite, then one is going to be overlapping the other. And so the experiences of one, the other will have. If you say there are many, but each is infinite, each is pure consciousness and infinite, that's an odd logic. And then to say if there's many infinite Atmas, but each one has a different experience, right, based upon the upadi or based upon the karma that identifies that with the body, the other Atmas don't have that same experience, that's not going to work because all of the Atmas overlap each other. So there was this long discussion. So now the Purvapakshi is bringing up another argument. So if you say, it's basically this, if you say that the Atma is asanga, and for the Atma is not the one who's the carrier of the experience, but the experience, sukha, dukkha, belong to the upadi, then how can you say there's any moksha or bondage at all? It doesn't make any sense. That's the Purvapakshi's objection here. So let's repeat after me now for this introduction into the verse. I'll read it without the sandhi broken first. Can you repeat?
Wait a minute. What was his objection again?
The objection is if there's only one Atma, that Atma is a sangha, is unattached, and is not having the experience itself of sukha or dukkha, then there's no bondage.
Yeah.
For the Atma, right?
Yeah.
Well, we agree with that, but we
we
agree with it, but in a different way than they are presenting the argument, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nanvevam sati.
Nanvevam sati.
Atmanaha sukha dukkhadi.
Atmanaha sukha dukkhadi.
Sambandha bhavat. Bandho nasti.
Bandho nasti.
Banda bhavacha.
Bandha bhavacha.
Moksha bhavaha.
Moksha bhavaha.
Baddho hi mujyate.
Baddho hi mujyate.
Na baddha iti.
Na baddha iti.
I'm going to read it with the sandhi broken, okay? Repeat after me. I'll read a little longer. You read it also with a sandhi broken, hopefully recognizing the sandhi. Nanu evam sati atmanaha.
Nanu evam sati atmanaha.
Sukha dukkha adi sambandha abhavat.
Sukha dukkha adi sambandha abhavat.
Bandaha na asti.
Bandaha na asti.
Banda abhavat cha moksha abhavaha.
Banda abhavat cha moksha abhavaha.
Moksha abhavaha.
Moksha abhavaha.
Baddaha hi mucyate. Na abaddha iti.
Na abaddha iti.
Okay. Nanu. Usually just with nanu we say doubt, colon. Nanu introduces a doubt. Evam sati translates as the sati is a, this is the locative singular, conforms an absolute locative of us, the verb to be. So evam in this manner, evam sati, when this is so, this being so is how we'll translate this. When this is so, that if you say that takes care of the locative. In English we just say this being so, or when this is so. Evam meaning in this manner, when it is like this, when this is the situation, when this is so, okay? Evam is indeclinable. Evam sati, then what? Atmanaha, genitive singular, for the self, sukha, pleasure, dukkha, pain, adi, etc. Remember the adi beginning with sukha and dukkha, so we say sukha, dukkha, etc. Sambandha, a connection. Abhavat. Abhava means non-existence. So we would say because there is no, or because of the absence or the non-existence of, right? So let's use non-existence for now. And you see the ablative there, abhavat. So reading the compound backwards, because of the abhava, the non-existence of a sambandha, a connection with sukha, dukkha, etc. For the self, right?
Yeah, it's not the connection among.
No, it's a. Because, this is literally saying, because the self has no connection, has no sambandha, there's no joining, there's no type of connection with sukha, dukkha, etc. So all the experiences, sukha, dukkha stand for the gamut of experiences. So it says, nanu, doubt, when this is so, or this being so, because there is an absence, an abhava, of a sambandha, a connection with sukha, dukkha, etc. for the self. So because the self has no such connection, right? Bandha na asti. There is no bondage. There's no such thing as bondage. This being so, there is no bondage then. Why? Because the Atma has no connection, no relationship with sukha, dukkha, etc. See? Okay. Bandha abhavat cha. And because of the abhava, ablative case, bandha abhavat cha, cha, and, because of the abhava of bondage, because of the non-existence of bondage, in English we probably say, because there's no bondage, right? But literally, because of the non-existence, because of the non-existence of bondage, right? Moksha abhavaha, there's non-existence of moksha. If there's no bondage, where's the moksha, right? Because of the absence, the non-existence of bondage, then moksha abhavaha, nominative singular for the compound, there is abhavaha, non-existence, of moksha. Everybody okay? Buddha. So, he explains why he says that. Buddha is a past passive participle from bud to bind. Okay? Buddha. The one who is bound. Someone who is bound. So buddha, nominative singular. He because muchate. The buddha is muchate. The buddha, the bound person, is liberated. Muchate. Muchate is in fourth atmanepada. From much means to release, to liberate. And the word moksha comes from much. So if I say, he's giving a reason. The Purvapakshi is giving a reason for his logic. Why does he say, because of an absence, because there's no bondage, then there's no liberation. Why? He, because the buddha, the bound one, past passive participle, the one who is bound, muchate, is liberated. Na abuddha, not the unbound. The unnegates buddha. So na abuddha iti, not the one who is not bound. Liberation's for somebody who's bound, not for somebody who's not bound. Okay, so that's the first logic here. And he goes on. Still Purvapakshi here. Okay. Tata, so repeat after me. Tata chidabhasa syapi. Let's go a little slower. Tata chidabhasa syapi.
Chidabhasa
syapi.
Syapi.
Bandha moksha. Na vidyate.
Na vidyate.
Avastu twat.
Avastu twat.
Okay, this is the next argument. I'm going to read it now with a Sunday broken and repeat after me. Tata chit abhasasya api. Chit. Remember, because follow the bell, it's going to go to the third. Chit abhasasya, genitive. Chit abhasasya api.
Chit abhasasya api.
Bandha moksha.
Na
vidyate.
Na vidyate.
Avastu twat.
Okay.
Tata, similarly. Similarly means similarly, in the same way. Okay. Indeclinable. Chit abhasasya api. Api, also. Okay. Genitive. For the chit abhasa. Normally we just translate, abhasa means reflection. Chit abhasa is the reflection of consciousness. So we'll see how he's going to be working with that word, reflection of consciousness. It's a word for the jiva. So the chit abhasa is the jiva, okay? So, but literally it means chit is consciousness, abhasa is reflection. So chit abhasasya api, also for the reflection of consciousness, for the jiva, okay? Bandha moksha. You see that dual ending? Like Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha. Bandha moksha. This is a dvandva compound that joins, the two words are joined by and. Bondage and moksha. Bondage and liberation. Bandha moksha. Bondage and liberation. Na vidyate. This is in the dual. Vid means not only to know. Vid has many meanings. One of the meanings of vid, and they all have different declensions. Vid in the second conjugation, it means to know. But in the fourth, it means to be. So vidyate is the dual, right? In the opnipada dual. So bandha moksha na vidyate. Bondage and liberation are not. In English, we'd say there is no bondage and liberation. Remember that in Sanskrit, there's no word for there is. There's not a word that we can use. We can use the word there in terms of place or location. But like we would say, there is no bondage and liberation. In Sanskrit, they would say, bondage and liberation is not. Right? So we wouldn't say it that way. We'd say, there is no bondage and liberation. Okay? Everybody see that? Why? Avastu twat. Because of being unreal. Twat is the fifth case. When you have that twat ending, often it translates as because of being. Because of being avastu. Now the word vastu can mean a thing in general. An object is a vastu. And vastu also is the name for Brahman in the sense that it is the only vastu. It is the only thing that is real, a real thing that is there. In samsara, you can't find a vastu. So all the vastus that you point at are mithya. They're not real. So, but when we say avastu twat, you would translate it as just because of being avastu, not real. Because of being unreal, right? So here he says, similarly, for...
So the meaning of avastu, it changes?
Well, like all of the meanings can change depending upon what level you're working them. So avastu can mean just an object, but it means an existent thing in the world. Then if you were to analyze that thing that you're calling avastu in the world, you would discover it's only mithya. So this word vastu ends up with Brahman. But if you're going to, in this context, you would just say, because of being a vastu. It means because it's not real. It's not a real thing. It's not a real vastu, that's all. So in English, how would you translate? Just because of being unreal. So he says, similarly, tata, there is no bondage or liberation for the chidabhasa either, right? For the jiva, for the reflection of consciousness either. Why? Avastu twat. Because of being unreal. Because it's not a real vastu. The reflection is not a real vastu.
The genitive is not off, but also form?
You would say in this case, when you use the, you know, in Sanskrit they also, yeah, of or for, depends on the context. Mm-hmm. But for would be more of a genitive sense. But there's something else important. In Sanskrit, they don't have the word have or has. I say if I say, you know, I have a book, right? In Sanskrit, in English, I'd say, I have a book. In Sanskrit, you'd say, for me, the book is. You'd use the genitive, right? Because they don't have this word have or has, so they use a genitive construction. So now if you look here, it would say, similarly, the chidabhasa also doesn't have bondage or liberation. Bondage and liberation are not there for the chidabhasa also. Or the chidabhasa also doesn't have bondage and liberation. You see that genitive there? Okay. Why? Avastu twat. Twat. Because of being avastu. Now, next argument. Tasya buddherapi. Vinashitvat Banda Moksha Yorabhavaha. Sandhi. Read after me. Tasya Buddhehe Api.
Tasya Buddhehe
Api. Vinashitvat
Vinashitvat
Bandha Moksha Yoho Abhavaha. Okay. For the Buddhehe, Tasya Buddhehe, Buddhehe is in the genitive singular, like Harehe. No. That would be Buddhal in the locative, like Harao. Tasya Buddhehe Api. For the Buddhi also. You could say for his buddhi also, for the chidabhasas or for the atma. It's not clear. It's not very clear whose buddhi he's talking about. It should be the buddhi of the chidabhasa or the buddhi of the atma. Doesn't make sense. Tasya buddhehe api. Vinashi twat. Because of being vinashi, perishable. Nush means to perish. To be destroyed. Vinash, vinash, vinashi means one that is perishable. Because, so we would say vinashi twat, because of being one who is perishable. Who? The buddhi. So because of the buddhi being perishable, means what? Subject to birth and death, subject to change. So you could say, tasya buddhehe, because of the buddhi, tasya of him, because of his buddhi, also, because of his buddhi being perishable, banda moksha yoho abhavaha. There is the non-existence of bondage and liberation. Banda moksha yoho is in the genitive dual, right? Like rama yoho. It could be the dual, genitive dual or the locative dual. So abhavaha, the non-existence of banda moksha yoho, of bondage and liberation, for the buddhi also, for the mind also, for his mind also. Okay.
What's the yoho?
When you learn the declensions Ramaha, Ramau, Ramaha, Raman, Ramau, Raman, get down to the genitive, Ramasya, Ramayoho, dual. So here it's genitive dual, bondage and liberation, banda moksha yoho. So, of bondage and liberation, abhavaha. The non-existence of bondage and liberation, buddhehe api, for, buddhehe is genitive singular for buddhi, for the buddhi also, right? For his buddhi also.
Abhava, can you also use lack of?
No, because lack of, you could use it as long as the understanding of it is not there in the sense it doesn't exist. Even if I say there is no bondage in moksha is more final than saying there is a lack of bondage in moksha, because then you could say, well, it could be there. It's lacking that, we have to give it to it. But we can't give it to it. Right? We can't give bondage in moksha to the buddhi. Why? Because the buddhi by its nature is always coming and going. So it doesn't even qualify for bondage and liberation, because by its very swarupa, by its very nature, it's subject to death. You can't change that.
This is the argument. It's not what's
done. Right. Yeah. The Purva-Pakshi is saying no bondage or liberation for the Atma, no bondage or liberation for the Chitta-Abhasa, for the Jiva, and no bondage and liberation for the buddhi either. Why? Because the buddhi is coming and going. It doesn't qualify, right?
So there's just no bondage or liberation.
Exactly. That's the argument. So now this final sentence, what wraps that up, says exactly that.
Because this is undermining the whole Vedanta Upadesha.
Right.
It's wrong.
That's exactly right.
Heresy.
This heretic. We've got to burn him at the
stake.
You know, in the whole Vedanta tradition, one thing that's really, I think, so important to understand about the East as different from the West, in the East, this purva, what we call Purva Paksha Siddhanta, this debate and really questioning an issue is accepted and expected. It doesn't make you a bad person to question somebody else's their belief or their knowledge. Like, say the Vedanta comes on very clearly saying there is bondage and liberation. For the Atma there is no change, but there is bondage and liberation. Immediately the Sankhya will come in. How could that even be possible? That's fine. This type of arguing is how you gain nishta. Right? So you find it in all of the commentaries and in some of the texts, like in Vidyaranya's Panchadashi. These arguments are included in the verses. He writes the arguments into the verses, right? Because it brings clarity.
Are you recording this? Or?
Yeah. Ready? So, tatascha. Moksha shastram anarthakam.
Moksha shastram anarthakam.
Apanam.
Apanam.
Ityatta aha.
Ityatta aha.
Sandhi. Tataha cha. Tataha cha. Moksha shastram. Anarthakam. Apannam. Iti. Ataha. Aha. Iti ataha aha. Okay. Tataha cha. And therefore, tataha is an indeclinable. It's got that taha ending from the fifth. It's a fifth case indeclinable ending. You know. So tataha cha. And therefore. Okay. So tatas cha. And therefore. Moksha shastram, the moksha shastram. The shastra is the scripture, the Upanishad. The scripture for moksha, the moksha shastram, the Upanishad, which is a moksha shastra, right? So the moksha shastram, anarthakam, fruitlessness, uselessness, apannam, gains. The moksha shastra goes to gains, apannam, anarthakam. Meaninglessness, fruitlessness, uselessness. So we'd say, and therefore the moksha shastra is useless. Right?
What is apannam?
Attains the state of. Ap means to gain, to attain. Apannam is actually a past passive participle, but we can translate it actively. Just say the moksha shastra has attained uselessness. We'd say the moksha shastra becomes useless then. Therefore it's useless. Yeah. Iti, thus, ataha, therefore, aha, he says. So, this is what we call the bridge. This is the bridge to the verse that Shankara has written to connect the two verses. So, he gives the reason that Hastamalika wrote this next verse. Okay?
I thought Hastamalika just spontaneously spoke this out to Shankara when he interviewed him.
He did, but then Shankara is filling in all of the reasoning.
Yeah, good. Good for him.
Yatha darpana bhava apasaha nao. Let me see it higher. Yatha. Sorry, my voice tends to get so low when we're teaching.
It's the season.
That must be it. Yatha yatha darpana bhava apasaha nao. Yatha darpana bhava apasaha nao. Mukham vidyate kalpana hinamekam. Mukham vidyate kalpana hinamekam. Tata divyoge nirapasako yaha. Tata divyoke nirapasako yaha. Sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. Sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. Let's do the sandhi. Yatha. Oh, yeah, good. I'll read it as is and then we'll do the sandhi. Yatha darpana bhava.
Yatha darpana bhava.
Abhasahana. Mukham vidyate.
Mukham vidyate.
Kalpana hina mekam. Tata diyoge. Tata diyoge. Nirabhasako yaha.
Nirabhasako yaha.
Sanityopalabdhi. Swarupo hamatma. That's swa. Swarupo hamatma. Okay. Yatha. Repeat after me again. Yatha. Darpana abhave. So that the A becomes I. And then the yakar drops. So darpana abhave abhasa hanau.
Abhasa hanau.
Mukham vidyate.
Mukham vidyate.
Kalpana hina hinam. Kalpana hinam.
Kalpana hinam.
Ekam.
Ekam.
Tata di vyoge. Nirabhasakaha yaha.
Nirabhasakaha yaha.
Sa nitya upalabdhi.
Sa nitya upalabdhi.
Swarupaha.
Swarupaha.
Aham atma.
Aham atma.
Yatha. Just as darpana is a mirror, abhava, absence, non-existence, means absence in the sense of non-existence. So darpana abhave, when there is no mirror, or when the mirror is absent, is gone, okay? The absence of the mirror and the non-existence of the darpana abhave, abhasa hanau, hani means the destruction or the loss. When there is the loss or the destruction of the abhasa, of the reflection, when the mirror is gone, right? When there is no mirror, when there is the loss, the hani, the loss, the destruction of the abhasa, when the mirror is not there, right? Darpana abhave, abhasa hanau. Two locatives. So when the reflection is gone, when the mirror is taken away, right? If the mirror disappears and the reflection is gone, so in that instance, mukham, the face, right? If you're looking at yourself in the mirror, your face in the mirror, so mukham means the face. Vidyate, the face is there. Vidyate is fourth atmanepada, means is, like us. So mukham vidyate, the face is. Kalpana hinam. In the absence, hinam means in the absence of the kalpana, of the You could, in this case, we just say reflection. So kalpana is the thing that's imagined to be there, right? There is no real face in the mirror, right? So we say that kalpana, that reflection or that image, okay? In the absence of that image, that false image, that kalpana, hinam, in the absence of, ekam, the one face is there. Ekam mukam, one face is there. Devoid of the kalpana, the image in the mirror, okay? Everybody see it? Kalpana hinam, the absence of the kalpana, the image, the projected image, the imagined image there. So just as yatha darpana abhave, in the non-existence of the mirror, abhasaha now, when there's the absence of the reflection, when the mirror is not there, is how I translate that. In the absence of the reflection, when the mirror is not there, the ekam mukham, the one face vidyate, is there. Minus the kalpana, the reflected image. Okay? And the, without the free of the absence of the reflected image. Now, tata. See, yata, just as, tata, similarly. See that too? Similarly. Di vyoge. Di means the buddhi. Buddhi, di. D is the buddhi, and generally, it's a D can be used for the buddhi, the mind, the thought, you know, the knowledge. So you have to look at context. Here we probably just use the mind, because if it's true, the mind is a more general term. If you're going to use buddhi, you mean the intellect. But the intellect is included in the whole antakarana, so you're using it like antakarana. The yoga means in the absence, in the separation from the buddhi, in the absence of the buddhi. Yoga means to be with the buddhi, right? Di means to take it away. Di means to remove that dissociation, that association. So when separated from the buddhi, nir abhasakaha yaha, the one who, yaha, he who, is nir abhasakaha, who is without the reflection. Yaha nirar abhasaka. Abhasaka is the one, is the reflection, right? Nirar means without. So nirar abhasakaha yaha, the one who is without the reflection. When the buddhi, when separated from the buddhi, when the buddhi is not there, when the mind is not there, the one who is there, minus that reflection, without the abhasa. You see? Okay. Saha. So yaha, the one who, saha, that one. So they're correlatives. Saha, yaha. He, that one. Yaha, who. So who is that one? Saha, nitya, timeless. Upalabdhi, consciousness. Swarupaha. Nitya, upalabdhi, swarupaha. The one whose, it's a bahuvrihi compound, the one whose nature, uswarupa, is timeless consciousness. Aham, atma. So we would say, I am aham, I am the self whose nature is timeless consciousness. I am that self whose nature is timeless consciousness, who just as a mirror, just as when the mirror is not there, blah blah blah. Similarly, the one who remains without the reflection when the buddhi is not there. Consciousness. Chit.
It
means knowledge.
Availability.
I think so. It means that, but it also means consciousness. It means knowledge. Mm. Yeah.
So that's true then, huh?
Yeah.
How long have you been listening?
A long time.
Let's try chanting it again. Let's see if I can do a little bit. Yatha, yatha, darpana, bhava, apasaha, now. Yatha darpana bhava apasaha nao mukham vidyate kalpana hinamekam mukham vidyate kalpana hinamekam tata divyoge nirabhasako yaha tata divyoge nirabhasako yaha sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma.
In this translation, this is all done by
Carol.
By our teacher.
Yes, but with the help of Swamiji and Swami said Prakashananda, anytime there's some unclarity, they help me with this. But sometimes there are some places that were hard. Okay. Let's take just a stand-up break. We have 45 minutes left. We're halfway through, so let me put this on hold for a minute. I'm going to start this tape again. Okay. So repeat after me. Yatha dharpana bhave sati. Abhasasya. Mukha pratibimbasya. Hanau satyam. Mukham paramarthasat. Kalpanahinam. Nityajnana rahitam. Ekam eva param. Na aparam vidyate. Yatha tenaiva prakarena. Tata tenaiva prakarena. Divyoge buddhe rabhave nirabhasako apratibimbaha paramarthataha san eka eva yaha. So hum atme ki yojana. So hum atme ki yojana. Does anybody want to get a refill? A little bit of tea or anything? You can go get up and get it whenever you want. Ready? Okay, now I'm going to read it with the Sunday broken. You repeat after me. I'll do longer sequences. Yatha darpana abhave sati.
Yatha darpana abhave sati.
Abhasasya mukha pratibimbasya. Hanau satyam mukham paramartha sat. Kalpanahinam nityajnana rahitam. Ekam eva param na aparam vidyate. Tata tena eva prakarena. Di vyoge buddhehe abhave. Nirabhasakaha apratibimbaha paramarthataha. Nirabhasakaha apratibimbaha paramarthataha. Sun Ekaha Eva Yaha. Saha Aham Atma Iti Yojana.
Yojana.
Okay. Now, yatha, just as, garapana abhave sati. This is called absolute locative. You see the sati is from us. It's in the locative singular. And then abhave is in the locative. When there is the absence, non-existence of the mirror, in English you'd say when the mirror is not there. Okay, but literally, when using absolute locative, when there is non-existence of the mirror. Okay, darapana is mirror. So just as when the mirror is not there. Do you see why we would translate it that way in English? Just as when the mirror is not there. Abhasasya. You should have your page 28 available so you can refer back to the verse. Abhasa is in the verse. Yata darapana abhave. So he makes that clear in the locative. Yata darapana abhave sati from the verse. Then abhasasya is from the verse. What does it mean? Mukha pratibimbasya. Pratibimba means a reflection. Mukha, he's adding face. So just as of the reflection, so genitive singular, abhasasya means mukha pratibimba. Pratibimbasya. So abhasa means reflection. So abhasasya for the reflection means mukha pratibimbasya for the reflection of the face. Hanau satyam. Again, another absolute locative in the hani is feminine. So when there is the disappearance, the loss of the reflection of the face, when the mirror is not there. Everyone see? Mm-hmm. Mukham paramarthasat, the face, paramarthasat, being real. Paramartha means paramarthasat, the actual face. In English, I would just say the actual face. Paramarthasat, sat means existent, the one that is really existing. Right? The reflection. The reflected face is not really, it's not paramartha, you know, it's imagined, it's not real. But the real face, that's the mukham paramarthasat, the face which really exists, paramarthasat, so I just translated the actual face, kalpana hinam, which is devoid of the kalpana, the reflected face, the imagination there, the kalpana. What do they mean? We want to know, Shankara has to tell us really, what kalpana hinam means. That's from the verse, right? Last part of the second line. Kalpana hinam means mithya jnana rahitam. A compound often ends in rahitam. It means without, or, you know, without or devoid of. So, without the mithya jnanam. The mithya jnanam means, we try to keep the word mithya jnanam. It really means the false knowledge, like, you are experiencing the face there, you know, that's the mithya. There's not really, that is not really the face, right? So we say the false cognition of the face, the mithya jnanam. So here, minus without rahitam, mithya jnanam rahitam. Rahitam is being used for hinam. So without the mithya jnanam, without the reflected face, without the mithya, the cognition which is mithya, okay? So without, devoid of the mithya jnanam, ekam eva param, the one, see the para aparam, the one and the other, the one alone is real, the one alone is there, one alone is real, ekam eva param, na aparam, not the other, na aparam, vidyate, the other is not there. If you say para aparam, other, other, this one and the other. So only the one, param, the one is there, not the other. Okay? Only one is real, not the other. Param na aparam vidyate. Okay? Ekameva, one alone is real, not the other. Okay? Tata, similarly, tena eva. Not in the verse, but Tena eva prakarena. When we say tata, tata is in the verse. Tena eva prakarena. By that same way, in that same prakara. Prakara means manner or way. So it's a way of translating tata. So tena, by that, eva, alone. By that alone, prakarena. By that manner alone. So in English we'd say in that way alone. So tena eva prakarena defines tata in that same manner. Okay? Tata tena eva prakarena divyoge from the verse. What does D mean and what does vyoga mean? He defines it. D means buddhehe, for the buddhi. Of the buddhi, abhave, in the absence of the buddhi, when the buddhi is not there. So divyoge means buddhehe abhave, when the buddhi is not there, right? In the absence of the buddhi, in the non-existence of the buddhi, or when, in English you just say when the buddhi is not there, when the mind is not there. Nirabhasikaha is from the verse. Nirabhasika means what? Apratibimbaha. Pratibimbaha means reflection. Apratibimbaha, right? Without the reflection, right? The self without the reflection. Paramarthataha sanna. Being paramarthataha, being in reality. Paramarthataha, in reality, sanna, being in reality, eka eva, one alone. Being in reality, one alone, without the reflection. Not the reflection, okay? Yaha, who, that one who, he who. He who being one alone, apratibimba, not the reflection, without the reflection, nirabhasika, without being one who is nirabhasika, one who doesn't have the reflection, right? Being one alone without the reflection, in the absence when the buddhi is not there. Yaha, he who, soham atma iti yojana, I am that self. Saha, that, aham, I, atma, self, iti. I am that self who is one alone, right? Who is one alone without the reflection in the absence of the buddhi. Do you see it?
Good.
Iti yojana, it means thus the connection. What they mean there, iti yojana, this is how to connect all of these words together. So really, I put in brackets, thus the syntactical connection. Because it's going from the verse, soham atma, that yaha, saha, aham atma, that atma, I am that self, who. See that? I am that self, who. So it's, and then you kind of read backwards and he's putting the whole thing into a word order that you can understand. So he's putting it into he's making the syntactical connection between I am that Atma, who is one alone, and devoid of the, in the absence of the buddhi, who doesn't have a pratibimba, who doesn't have a reflection.
Actually, the case that they were making in the Tarava is true, that both bondage and liberation are in the realm of mithya.
Right. That's right. You know, and that has to be established. She said, and Shankara is going to establish that based on this verse in his argument. He just said that bondage for the argument, see, bondage and liberation for us are both in the realm of mithya, right? And the Atma is not affected. But for the Sankhya and for the Vaisheshika, the Atma actually is the one who is bound and liberated, right? And so that's the problem. They're saying, no, you're saying that the Atma is a Sangha. If you say the Atma is a Sangha, there's no bondage and liberation for the Atma. How can you say that? So he said, that's right. There is no bondage or liberation for the Atma. That is all mithya. So he has to establish that, because that's not the position.
But they don't have mithya.
No, they don't have mithya. Exactly. Yeah.
Do people really go by this? Or
the Sankhya thing?
Yeah. Are they real?
They are. Okay, let's read the next line. Okay. Ayam abhiprayaha.
Ayam
abhiprayaha. Atma jnana krito yam.
Atma jnana krito yam.
Bhujyadi prapanchaha.
Bhujyadi
prapanchaha. Read again. Ayam abhiprayaha. Atma ajnana kritaha. Ayam buddhi adi prapanchaha. Ayam abhiprayaha. When you say that, ayam abhiprayaha, this is the meaning, this is what the intended meaning. This is what is meant here. Ayam this, abhiprayaha. Abhiprayaha means the intention. This is, in other words, ayam abhiprayaha, this is what is intended to be said. This is what it's meant. Okay? What is meant? Atma ajnana kritaha, that which is made, kritaha, by the ignorance, ajnana, of the self. That which is a product of self-ignorance, atma ajnana kritaha. What is? Ayam, this which is krita, which is a product of atma ajnanam, self-ignorance, buddhi adi prapanchaha. This prapanchaha, this creation, prapancha is the creation, it means this manifestation of duality. The prapancha means that group of five, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, the prakriti, that projects as this creation. This prapancha, beginning with the mind, right? Because these are all the prakriti, like in the class last night. This is all prakriti. So this prapancha, this duality, so often we'll just translate it as this duality, right? Beginning with the buddhi, beginning with the mind, so this buddhi adi prapanchaha, nominative singular, okay? So this prapancha, This manifestation, this duality, beginning with the buddhi, is made by self-ignorance. That you see this duality, all of this as dual, this whole creation as though it's real, that reality that you're giving to it, this prapancha, as though it has a real existence of itself, that is not true. This whole prapancha is really, you're taking it to be a creation. Right? This is a result, a product of self-ignorance. Because there's only Brahman here. There's no separate being here. There's no separate prapancha. There's only mitya. This is all mitya jnanam. So there is no real prapancha here. Beginning with the buddhi, all of it is in truth just atma. Right? Atma plus with the maya, upadhi. Okay? So he's going to work on this a little bit. But you see it in the Sanskrit so far? Okay. So repeat after me. Tatra buddhyadau.
Tatra
buddhyadau. Pratibimba
rupena.
Atmanam adhyasya. Tadgata. Sukha dukadikam. Atman yadhyasyati.
Atman
yadhyasyati.
Atman yadhyasyati.
Soyam adhyaso bandaha.
Soyam adhyaso
bandaha. So repeat again. Tatra buddhi adau. Pratibimba rupena. Atmanam adhyasya. Tad gata sukha dukha adhikam. Tad gata sukha dukha adhikam. Atmani adhyasyati.
Good.
tetra there means there when you say tetra in reference to this. So he's referring back. So in regarding this tetra in the clinable, the tra affix has the sense of locative. So in that, regarding that, in reference to that, on that, depending on the context, right? It can be concrete, like in that room or on that table for tetra. So in that, on that, it could be referring to something physical, or it can be in reference to that. This is locative in general. In reference to that, regarding that. Okay? So in that regard, like that. Buddhi adau. Okay? On the buddhi, etc. Buddhi adau, locative, singular. I'm saying on now because we'll see why, because it can be superimposition. So locative can be on, in, at, among, regarding. So here it's going to be on. On the buddhi, adi, etc. On that group of things which begin with the buddhi, right? Body, mind, sense organs, anything that can take the adhyasa. So on the buddhi, etc.
Adau
means, you know, when adi comes after a word, it means that group beginning with
right.
buddhi. So you can say buddhi, etc.
Yeah.
Or in that which begins with the buddhi. So now on the buddhi, etc. I'm saying.
Okay, on.
On.
Adau, is that... Is
locative
that,
singular.
But is that also like buddhi prapancha?
No, yeah. Now when they say buddhiadi prapancha,
yeah.
That would be the prapancha beginning with the buddhi, or the prapancha, the manifestation of the buddhi, etc.
Right. Wait, is this the same? Isn't this also buddhiadi?
Yeah.
So it's referring to the same prapancha?
Now it's only... It's not... The prapancha word isn't there.
Yeah.
All that's there is buddhi.
Oh.
So it's buddhi, etc. So I could say prapancha beginning with the buddhi,
uh-huh.
Or now it's just on the buddhi, etc.
What is the etc. referring to?
It can refer to, I would take it to refer to anything that's being discussed here, which would be the body, the mind, the sense organs, which would earlier been discussed in terms of the manas, right? So anything that can... We'll see. It'll become clear with the rest of the sentence. The Atma is superimposed on the buddhi, etc. Okay. So we can take it out farther than that, but you'll see that since we're talking about sukha and dukkha, it's only going to be the buddhi and the manas, the buddhi, like that. Buddhya down, the buddhi, etc. Pratibimba rupena. In the form of a reflection. Rupa means form. So in English, with pratibimba rupena, we would just say as a reflection. Pratibimba rupena. Atmanam adhyasya. Adhyasya, from adhyas to superimpose. Adhyasya, past passive participle. Having superimposed. Atmanam, accusative singular. Atmanam adhyasya. Having superimposed the atma on the buddhi. Etc. Right? The self is superimposed on the buddhi in the form of the reflection, as a reflection. Okay? As the pratibimba, in the form of the pratibimba, in the form of the reflection. Then what? Tad gata sukha dukkha adikam. The sukha, happiness, the pleasure, pain, etc. Okay? Pleasure, pain, etc. Tadgata, which abides in that? Which abides in what? In the buddhi. See, it says, having superimposed the self, atmanam adhyasya, as the reflection, on the buddhi, etc., the pleasure, sukha, dukkha, the sukha, dukkha, adhikam, the pleasure, pain, etc., which abide in that reflection, atmani, on the self, adhyasyati, are superimposed on the self. See, you understand? If the self is superimposed on the buddhi, on the mind, and the mind has all these qualities like pleasure and pain and agitation and joy, whatever is going on in the buddhi or in the manas, in the citta, whatever is going on in the mind, those qualities that belong to the mind, those are then superimposed onto the self. Right? So having superimposed the Atma, Atmanam Adyasya, having superimposed the Atma onto the Buddhi, in the form of the Pratibimba, in the form of the reflection, then all of those qualities that abide in the Buddhi, etc., Tadgata, Sukha Dukkha Adikam, they are superimposed Atman onto the self.
I'm a little confused by what it means by in the form of a reflection.
Well, there's nothing really that's superimposed on the Atma, right? I mean, when we say superimposed on the Atma, what is really happening there, right? Is that I mistake the Buddhi
right.
to be the Atma,
right.
right? And so that's what the Pratibimba is. That's what the Chittabhasa is. It's this false superimposition that allows you to say, I am that. So now say you having superimposed, right, the Atma onto the Buddhi, so then you say, I am the Buddhi, I am the mind. Then whatever conditions the mind enjoys, like happiness and sorrow, even it goes farther, sukha, dukkha, bandha, moksha, whatever conditions are, I am bound, I am a samsari, I am miserable, I am happy, whatever conditions the mind are enjoying, then those conditions become of the mind, then they are superimposed onto the Atma.
Are the Pratibimba and the Chittabhasa, are they kind of like more unreal than mithya in a way?
No, they're all, that whole thing is mithya.
All mithya.
Absolutely, listen, mithya is a general term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It applies to absolutely everything that exists in duality. The entire prapancha, all of duality is mithya. The only thing that's not mithya is Atma. That's why earlier they say mithya jnanam. Right? That mistaken identification is mithya jnanam.
Well, for a jnani, you still have a chittabhasa.
Yeah, you still have a chittabhasa, but it's dagdabija. You know what it is. You know what the experience is. It's not like you gain. As long as you have a mind, there's going to be this reflection of consciousness. So you have to understand what reflection of consciousness means. Why do they say that? It's because the Maya itself doesn't enjoy any consciousness other than the Atma. That's the only consciousness that's there. But the mind is known. Right? The rug doesn't have a chittabhasa. The rug can't say, I am a rug. Right? And so the sukshma sharira seems to enjoy the consciousness. But there's only one consciousness. There's not as though the subtle body is enjoying another consciousness. So what do we say? This is a manifestation, this creation is a manifestation of consciousness. Some things in the creation themselves reflect the consciousness. Some things don't reflect the consciousness. The sukshma sharira, the subtle body, which means the sense organs, the buddhi, the ahankara, the chitta, all of the different aspects of the mind, they reflect consciousness. Why do we say that? Just to differentiate them from something like the chair. Then we say the entire infinite creation reflects consciousness. The whole thing, because the whole creation is pervaded by sattva. But that's from Ishvara's standpoint, because Ishvara is not identified with any given object. But say from the standpoint of a given object, that given object either reflects consciousness or it doesn't. So another way of saying it, either enjoys consciousness or it doesn't from its own standpoint. You understand that? Like the rug's not going to say, I am a sentient being. Please don't stand on me.
But there's another sense that anything reflects consciousness and that it is known, it can be known.
Yes, but when we use... That's true. But that's true in the sense that all of this is known. But from its own standpoint, it doesn't identify with itself as a conscious being, a knower. So that's where the differentiation comes in. In reality, the entire creation is a manifestation of consciousness. From Ishvara's standpoint, where there's no identification with a given object within the creation, the whole thing, the sattva, the entire thing reflects consciousness. But if we go into the creation, then the things that have a sukshma sharira, a subtle body, reflect consciousness. The things that themselves, the objects that don't have a subtle body, they don't reflect consciousness. So the chittabhasa is a word for the jiva, because the rug doesn't have a problem. right?
It can't get confused.
Can't get confused.
No.
Those things that have a chidabhasa reflect consciousness, and therefore they have what we call an abhimana, an identification, right? They have an identification with the upadhi.
So, so as the mind being a burnt seed, not me, but it goes on saying, "I am me," even though you know, even though you're fully aware that it.
Yeah, it says it more in the as a as kind of a like a lakshana is not quite the right word, but say if I say like a lakshana in a little different sense. If I say I'm going to the store, what I really mean, what the I really means, has to be replaced by the body. Or if I say right, certain type of lakshana. If I say certain type of implied meaning. There's different types of lakshana. So we went all through that in Vakyavritti. So now if I say, I'm agitated, that's lakshana. What I mean for the, by the I is the mind is agitated. So that lakshana, that use of the language as a lakshana, is for the jnani is very clear. You know, I'm walking means the body is walking. I'm agitated or I'm happy means the mind is in the mind is having that state of experience.
It's like a point of reference for functioning.
Yeah, but that's what we mean by lakshana. Like there's different kinds of lakshana. Remember, like one lakshana is if I say, one example they use is, oh, the house is on the river. Yeah. We don't mean that. We mean the house is on the banks of the river. There's not a house floating on the river. But if I say that, you know what I mean. You supply the word. So that's, the implication is clear to you. You don't even think of it. You do it so quickly. If I say, hey, look at all the umbrellas going, what do I mean? All of the people who are, that's a stock example. Say if people, there's a whole, it's raining out and there's a whole parade of people that are all carrying the umbrellas. Say, oh, look at all the umbrellas walking there.
And that's what Samiti says, things like when you get up, the whole world doesn't get up. I mean, in a way, it's also that making, that's kind of what I mean, like a point of reference for functioning. Do you know, like, say, I get up. I mean, if you know everything's yourself, you don't mean everything's getting up. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But that's what I'm saying. That is lakshana.
Right.
That's exactly using it as a lakshana.
Right.
And so for the jnani, because you know yourself, you're using the I in different ways.
Right.
Listen, even if you're an ajnani, you use the I in different ways. If you say, I am thinking, you mean, say it's an ajnani, okay? I am thinking or I am sad, you mean my mind is sad. You don't mean that your leg is sad, right? If you say, I'm walking to the store, it means your body is walking to the store. So you single, you know, I really hurt myself. Well, you broke your arm or something, right? So you don't say, you get what I mean? So you know how you're using the language. So for jnani, even though you have self-knowledge, you know yourself, you still talk in this normal way.
But it seems to me at that point that the mind still says, I am me, even though you have the wisdom to know it's not.
I don't know what you mean, Ed, because if you say...
The sense of me seems to originate out of beingness, but it also, excuse me, the mind seems to keep saying, I am me.
Listen...
In terms of I am the body or I am the mind.
The mind can say, it's not, the mind's not going to walk around, even in normal language. The mind isn't saying, I am me, I am me, I am me. It's not going to say that. It will say, the ahankara, the mind will say, I am agitated, I am happy, I am dull today, I am feeling sharp, whatever.
Yeah,
it's going to identify, right? That's how it will talk.
And it says that, that's me.
Oh, if it says that, if it says that,
well, it senses
me,
that's me.
I don't know quite what you mean by that, because the meanness that the mind enjoys is the Atma.
Yeah.
So it's not going to sense that this me has become the mind. Right? Because the only experience of me that is there is Brahman. There's not a second experience of me.
Okay.
But that me, you know, if you say I'm walking to the store... It's still your body. You have a sense that this is my body, that this is my mind. That is there. This is my mind. This is my body. But there's not two senses of me. There's only one sense of me. So like, for instance, if you take the clay pot, there's only one sense of clay. if the pot says, you know, I am the clay, right? It's referring to, you know, I have a sense, I have the sense of clay. What if it says that? I would say no. The sense of clay that you have is the clay.
Yeah.
It's not that you have a sense of clay and the clay has a sense of clay. There's only one sense of clay. So like that, the sense of self, the me, that the mind enjoys is Brahman. There isn't another. There aren't two senses of me. But now, you have, as long as this upadhi is here, this body, mind, senses are here, you'll say, I am walking to this door because this is your body. You still have a sense that this is my body. It's not somebody else's body. You still have a sense, this is my mind, because as long as this upadhi is there, this is your upadhi, right? This upadhi enjoys consciousness. And this, the consciousness that this mind is limited. And it's enjoying consciousness, and this mind is enjoying consciousness, and this mind is enjoying consciousness, and there's intervening space which isn't enjoying consciousness. That's the sukshma sharira. Right? This sukshma sharira, space. This sukshma sharira, space. This sukshma sharira. So every sukshma sharira, whatever is happening in it, that is known. Right? That every single thing that is happening in your sukshma sharira, which is identified and abiding in the body, every single thing that happens in it, in the conscious mind, that is known. Right? And so it will have its own point sense of identification. Space, own sense of identification. Space, own sense of identification. So, from its own standpoint, I am going to the store, I am thinking all of that. But it doesn't think that the sense for jnani, that the me that it enjoys as itself is a different me than the self. The self that it enjoys that allows it to say, I am a conscious being, I the mind am a conscious being, I the mind am me, that me is Brahman. There's no intervening, no other me. There's no separate me.
Doesn't the differentiation become much more vivid if we use the words thought and consciousness? So when I say I'm going to the store, it's a thought, I is a thought, all of it is a thought. And the thoughts are thoughts.
Thoughts are thoughts. But you have to realize that when you say, yeah, the thought is the ahankara, I'm going to the store, whatever. All of that enjoys a sense of me because the sense of me, you know, it's just like saying the pot is clay, the clay is the pot, but the pot is not the clay. Mm-hmm. Right? You see that? The pot is the clay.
The clay is not.
But the clay is the pot. Right? Because there's nothing else that's there. But the pot is not the clay in the sense that the clay is not the pot in the sense that the clay is not limited by the pot. But the pot has no being apart from the clay. See that? And so for me, I am. There is no other. The mind, body, sense organs, they are all me. There's no other me there. But they are dependent on me for their I. I'm not dependent on them for my I. So there's only one I there. So this question, you've rotated around this question a lot, so I want to make, in the past also, so what's important to understand is when you say me, Edward, mm-hmm. that me is Brahman.
Yeah.
There's no other Brahman. Okay?
That's that self-evident me.
And there is only one self-evident me. There's not two. There's not a reflected self-evident me. The me that is me is Brahman.
Yeah.
That's what it says. So one yeah. The thing, though, but like, it's not like a jnani has to, I think, it's not like he's translating saying, okay, I'm just going to say me because otherwise everyone's going to think I'm crazy, but actually I mean me
yeah.
who's
it's
Brahman.
It's absolutely natural, right?
It's natural for him also to use the conventional terminology because the mind knows that the mind is the mind,
yeah.
even though the mind knows that the self is actually
that's right.
the self. Right?
Yeah, you don't even think
so
about it.
You don't have to, right, exactly.
Yeah, don't have to think about it.
Right.
Because yourself, see, this is the thing. The self is aparoksha. Once it's been differentiated and you realize it's self-evident. The only thing is, the only difference between a jnani and a ajnani, in a sense, because I'm not dealing really with I in the whole right now, I'm just dealing with I, the aparokshatvam of the atma. You know, once you recognize that, then it's like, oh, how could I ever have
yeah.
made that misidentification. Even Shankara in his Adyasa Bhasha says, how is it possible?
How can you not make it? There's no place that anything is without consciousness.
Well, that's right. That's what he goes on. That's right.
Consciousness is not sitting there by itself. So how can you not make that mistake?
That's how you have to feel from the standpoint of Ajnanam. Once you have knowledge, it's astounding to recognize that you have superimposed your being on something which comes and goes and is continually changing. When from the standpoint of the jnani, yourself is always constant, is always the subject, is always changeless. So you just see kind of, he says that to kind of point to the miracle of the whole thing. You know, how astounding that is. But what you say is true. From the standpoint of the creation, nothing in the creation is ever away from or other than consciousness. So how could it ever know otherwise?
Yeah.
That's why you need a means of knowledge. There's no way for the mind. Why should the mind ever think, I am not a conscious being, when there is never a time when it's not a conscious being? Every thought is consciousness. I am always the very present, the very being of every thought. However, when the teaching takes place and you analyze actually what are the components of this thought, how does it break down? Then you realize that yourself is solid, is changeless, is not objectifiable, is aproksha. It's never modifying as these thoughts are coming and going. So there's no possibility of me being that.
So
that becomes very clear.
Yeah.
But until that knowledge takes place, there's nothing else for the mind to think. Because there's, why shouldn't it think that the body, that I will die when the body dies, because this body is enjoying consciousness and the body is finite. Right? So why would you not say that the body is the cause of the consciousness? Then you become spiritual and say, well, religions say that there's a heaven and a hell and that there's a soul embodied in, you know. And it goes on and on like that. So with Vedanta, you get even to the self of the soul. The soul itself is an object. Right, the sukshma sharira also is objectifiable. Okay. Where did we leave off there? I think we're done.
That was my fault. We had one sentence.
Let's do this one sentence. The soyam adyasaha bandaha. See that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Saha ayam adyasaha bandaha. That saha ayam this. When they say that this adyasa, that this superimposition is bondage. When they say that this, they use this construction all the time in Sanskrit, that which we've been talking about, this adyasa which we've been talking about, literally saha ayam adyasa, this superimposition, saha, that we've been talking about. So saha ayam, this adyasa, saha that, means that we've been discussing, is bondage. It's this superimposition, it's this adyasa, which is the bondage. Okay? Saha ayam adyasaha bandha namakta alma namakta singulars. It's this adyasa that is the bondage. Get it? It is this adyasa that is the bondage.
So
this adyasa that we've been discussing.
They would never say so ayam adyasaha bandha asti or...
They could, but it's an extra word. You don't have to use the verb to be. So if it works so kind of in the rhythm of a sentence, they'll use it, but more than often they won't. Okay?
Yeah. These last two sentences, is there anything good in there?
I don't know. It's too late to tell. Time is up.
But that was a great question.
We'll use the same handout for the next class, but the next class is not for a while, because next week I go to Portland, and the week after that I don't have
long weekend, right? Next weekend.
Yeah, but it means that we don't have class for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, this class for 2 weeks. Not next week, not the week after. Because on that Friday I have an all-day East-West Psychology meeting. So let me just tell you the next day of the class before we say our prayer. Let me just get it here. Do you have it there? The 30th?
It's probably the
30th. Yeah, let me see if it's sure.
Yeah,
because
we're flying up there to see the 29th.
You're right. Our next class will be on the 30th. We will have the Sanskrit Saturday class on the 24th, but the 23rd class we won't have. because I'll be having... Okay, so we won't... No classes at all on... no Sanskrit class next week on Friday or Saturday. I'll send out a mail in here. No classes on Friday or Saturday next week. And the week after that, only on the Saturday.
But tomorrow we have classes.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we have class.
And the Vedanta classes?
Are all the same. All. Yeah, all the way through. Yeah. I get home in time for those.
But except next week can't be gone.
But I'll have the Vedanta class, yeah. Because I get home in the early afternoon on Sunday. So I'll just have a class, yeah.
Gone.
Are you going to be gone?
Yeah,
should we do a prayer?
Yeah, let's do a prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om